Well, it's good for us to be together on this Lord's Day morning. It is a beautiful day, and we're thankful for that. And we're thankful for all of you being here. Just one other announcement before we begin to add to what Mark mentioned this morning. Shannon and Samuel are not here today. Shannon's father, we got a call yesterday that he's been in Louisiana on a business trip, and he had to go into emergency heart surgery. He passed out on his way to his work site, and they found that his heart was not beating regularly. And so they installed a temporary pacemaker yesterday, and today they're going to install a permanent pacemaker. He's only in his early 50s. And so Shannon and Samuel are driving to Louisiana today. They're going to stop in Mississippi for the night and travel the rest of the way on Monday. So we appreciate your prayers on her behalf for their safety and as well as her father. I think he'll be okay according to what we've heard, but we just pray that he will be blessed, and we covet your prayers on our behalf as well. Like I said, it's good for us to be here this morning. I hope that our time together is encouraging and helps us to understand more of God's will for us. In 2006, Will Bowen wrote a book entitled A Complaint-Free World. And in this book, he challenged his readers to go 21 days without complaining once. And the catch was that if you complained once during that 21-day period, you had to start over on day one and start counting all over again. And later on, as statistics started coming out, as people kept this challenge, people realized that it was taking a lot deal of time to keep this challenge. On average, a diligent person, it took them from 4 months to 10 months to string 21 days without complaining once. 4 months to 10 months, that's almost a year. We have a problem with not complaining. You know, Shannon and I have tried to keep this 21-day challenge, and let me tell you, it is hard. It is really hard to go 21 days without complaining once. And I imagine it's probably hard for you too. But why do we have a problem with complaining so much? I think part of the reason is because we're so comfortable in our society today. We're used to the conveniences around us. When we lose our AC or lose our heat, then we complain about it because we're used to having that. Or we're used to having a fully stocked fridge, and whenever we go to our fridge and we find something that we don't find anything that we want, we complain about that. We're used to conveniences, and therefore we complain. And I wonder if people in third world countries have as much of a problem with complaining as we do. They're not used to the kind of conveniences that we have, so they don't have anything of those conveniences to complain about. They do have sufferings. Their lives are hard. But the things we complain about are conveniences, things that make our lives easy. When we think about complaining, sometimes we don't think complaining is that big of a deal, but the Bible tells us that complaining is a sin. To God, complaining is a big deal. And if you'd like to open your Bibles, first of all, this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is talking about the Israelites and the problems that they had in the wilderness when they were wandering around. And Paul is telling us that the Israelites are an example for us, that we need to learn from them, from their negative example. And begin reading with me in verse 5. Paul says, "Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now these things happen as examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also craved. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Nor let us act immorally, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord, as some of them did, and they were destroyed by the serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer." When you look at that list of things that Paul is encouraging us to learn from, that's a pretty heavy list of sins. He says that the people of Israel craved evil, that they were idolaters. They worshipped gods made with hands. They worshipped statues. And they practiced sexual immorality. And they complained. And complaining is listed in one of the in that list of pretty major, what we think is major sins. Complaining is a big deal to God. And the result of their complaining was not a good thing. The consequences, as you notice, verses 9 and 10, they were destroyed for their sins. This relates to two particular occasions, specific examples in which the people complained against God. And on one occasion, God sent serpents among the people to bite them and kill some of them. And another time, God sent fire among the people to destroy them. God does not like complaining. And certainly he doesn't like us to complain either. So this morning, I want us to go back to the Old Testament and look at Israel's wandering in the wilderness and trace their steps. And I want us to see how often they complain, first of all. Secondly, I want us to see the consequences of their complaining. And third, I want us to take some lessons for us. What can we learn about complaining? What can we learn about what God thinks about complaining? And how can we learn to avoid complaining from the Israelites? So go back with me to, first of all, Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15 is where we will begin our journey with the Israelites. And as you're turning there, let me ask you a question. How many of us enjoy complaining? I'm not asking for a show of hands, but ask yourself that question. Do you enjoy complaining? You know, on some level, I think we do, because we think, well, we want to express our feelings. We want people to know that we're not happy with our circumstances. And so we take some sort of satisfaction or pleasure with complaining. But you know, in the long run, complaining does not help us be happy one bit. Complainers are not joyful people. Yes, it may be satisfactory for a time, but that satisfaction is only temporary. In order for us to rejoice in the Lord, we're going to have to learn to be people that don't complain. In order for us to be satisfied with the life that God has given to us, if we want to be happy, if we want to be content in life, we're going to have to learn to not complain. So Exodus chapter 15 tells us about the Israelites, and this takes place right after the Israelites have left Egypt in the Exodus. In chapter 15, the beginning of the chapter tells us that the people are rejoicing and they're celebrating. They're singing to the Lord, praising Him for God's deliverance. And verse 22 says, "Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness, and they found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore it was named Marah. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' Then they cried out to the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet." Now, the first thing I want you to notice is how quickly the people start complaining after the Exodus. Remember, the people have just seen God's deliverance. They've seen the Red Sea just parted. They've walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. They've seen the Lord close up the Red Sea and destroy their enemies. They've seen God's power. They've seen His blessings in their lives. So then they go into the wilderness, and for 3 days, they're there. After 3 days, they start complaining. They go to a camp where there's no water, and they begin grumbling to the Lord. They cry out to Him and say, "What shall we drink?" The first thing that we can learn from this is that it doesn't take long for us to forget God's blessings. And when we do, we start complaining. The people forgot that they had just walked through the Red Sea. They forgot who they were serving. God wasn't just going to lead them out into the wilderness, out of Egypt, just to kill them. God had proven His love for them. He had proven His power by delivering them through the Red Sea and from the great nation of Egypt. Certainly, He wasn't going to lead them out there to die of thirst. They forgot God's blessings. They forgot God's power. And certainly, whenever we forget what God does for us, we start complaining. The number one reason we complain is because simply we're ungrateful for what we have. That's the number one reason we complain about what we've got, because we're not happy. We're not thankful for what we have. And so we find ourselves complaining. But you notice what it says at the end of verse 25. At the end of verse 25 it says, "Then he made for them a statute and a regulation, and there he tested them. And he said, 'If you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians. For I, the Lord, am your healer.' Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 date palms, and they camped there beside the waters. You know, even though the people complained, God gave them water. God told them, or God told Moses to take this tree and put it in the water, and the water became sweet. God blessed them. And then he made a promise to them. He said, if you keep my commandments, if you do what I say, I'll take care of you. I'm not going to bring the plagues on you that I brought on Egypt. Remember, one of the plagues, the very first plague of Egypt, was water to wine. I'm sorry, water to blood. The people were thirsty. The people thirsted because they couldn't drink the water. So God is telling them, you're not going to have to thirst. He told them, I am your healer. And then he led them to where there was water and food. So keep that in mind. God promised to them that he was going to take care of them. Number two, Exodus chapter 16. The very next chapter, read with me in verse 1. It says, the Israelites set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the sons of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departure from the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The sons of Israel said to them, would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. In chapter 15, the people were complaining that they didn't have water. Now they're complaining that they don't have food. And again, you notice how long it took. It didn't take long. Verse 1 tells us that this is the 15th day of the second month after they left Egypt. This is about a month after they have left Egypt. And here they are complaining once again. The lesson that we can learn from this is it doesn't take us long to forget God's promises. And when we do, we complain. Remember what God had said to them back in chapter 15? I am your healer. If you obey my commandments, I'm not going to bring plagues on you. I'm going to take care of you. But they forgot that promise. And they forgot that at the end of chapter 15, that he brought them to where there was food and he gave them water. They forgot all those things. And so they started complaining once again. Lack of trust is the number two reason why we complain. First of all, it's because we don't appreciate what we've got. But secondly, we don't appreciate God's care for us. We don't trust in his provision. And you know, God has promised the same promise to us, that if we obey him, he'll take care of us. In the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. The Bible tells us, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. Isn't that a reminder that we ought not to complain? The reminder that we ought to be content with what we have? And the promise that helps us overcome discontentment is this. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. God has promised that he'll take care of us. And when we forget that promise, or we don't trust in that promise, then we start complaining about our circumstances. And so from this, we learn that complaining comes from two root problems. First of all, simple ingratitude. And secondly, it comes from lack of trust in God's provision. And keep those things in mind, because this is really our problem too. It's not just the Israelites' problem, but it's our problem. This is a pattern in their history, but also in our history as well. If we find ourselves complaining, let's go back to one of these problems, because chances are one of these problems is where our complaining is coming from. The third stop is Exodus chapter 17. Again, we're tracing Israel's history and looking at just how often they find themselves complaining. In Exodus chapter 17, beginning in verse 1, it says, then all the congregation of the sons of Israel journeyed by stages from the wilderness of Sin according to the command of the Lord. And they camped at Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses, and they said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said to them, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord? But the people thirsted there for water, and they grumbled against Moses and said, why now have you brought us up from Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, what shall I do to this people? A little more, and they will stone me. The people were ready to even stone their leader, Moses. because of the fact that they didn't have water to drink. Now let me ask you this question. Observe what it says in verse 1. It says the people are wandering in the wilderness, and they camp according to the command of the Lord at a camp, Rephidim, where there is no water. Why in the world would God, who is guiding them directly, why would he lead them to a camp where there was no water? After he had promised in chapter 15, I am your healer, and I'm going to care for you, I'm going to protect you, why would he lead them to a camp with no water? The Israelites were wondering that, and probably if we were there too, we'd be wondering the same thing. Why? Well, the answer is found in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Beginning in verse 2, listen to what Moses tells the people. Remember, the book of Deuteronomy is after the people have wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And it says in verse 2, you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Moses tells the people that yes, God lets you go hungry. Yes, he lets you thirst for a while so that you would learn, first of all, that he was going to take care of you. So that you would learn that if you were hungry, God was going to feed you. That God is the one who is providing. And secondly, God was trying to teach the people that there are more important things than bread and water. But in verse 4, it says, your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Even though God let them be hungry, he let them go be thirsty for a while, God never let them starve to death. God never let their clothing wear out. God took very good care of them. So we have to understand, sometimes we think, well, the Israelites, they were justified in the fact that they complained because life was hard back then, and it was hard in the wilderness. But God was trying to teach the people that you need to trust in me because I'm going to take care of you. And he did take care of them. That's what he was trying to show them. The people were not justified in complaining because they were ungrateful and they didn't trust in God's provision. So that's why he led them to the camp where there is no water. But the lesson we can learn from this is that even when we don't understand our circumstances, complaining is never right. The people probably didn't understand why they were being led to a camp with no water, but yet God was not happy when they complained. Sometimes whenever we find ourselves in circumstances we don't have an answer for, we find ourselves complaining. The answer for complaining is not for him to take better care of us, because he does take really good care of us, even more so than we know ourselves. The answer is not for God to bless us more. The answer is for us to trust in God more. That's the answer to complaining. God is not the problem. His care is not lacking in our lives. His care is sufficient for us. And therefore, we need not complain, even when we don't have an answer. And another lesson we can learn from this instance is that all complaining is ultimately against God. Notice what is said in Exodus chapter 17, verse 7. In Exodus chapter 17, verse 7, it tells us, he named the place Massah and Meribah because the people quarreled, because of the quarrel of the sons of Israel, and because they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? On another occasion, Moses told the people, you're not complaining against me, you're complaining against God. All complaining is ultimately against the one true God. Yes, it may seem like we're complaining against someone else or one particular person, that our beef is just with that one person, but God hears, and all complaining is ultimately against God. What a scary thing to do, to test God, and to, as the people here did, challenge God, question God, is he among us or not? The Lord had promised that he was going to be among them if they obeyed him, if they kept his commands. And here they're questioning that promise. That's a scary thing. It is a scary thing for us to complain against other people, but ultimately to complain against God and His care for us. Now let's go to Numbers chapter 11. And Numbers chapter 11 takes place just over a year after the instances we read in Exodus. Israel is led to Mount Sinai. They stay at Mount Sinai for about a year. And then God tells them to leave Mount Sinai and go wander in the wilderness towards the land of Canaan. And that's where we pick up in chapter 11 of Numbers. And read with me verses 1 through 3. It says, "Now the people became like those who complain of adversity in the hearing of the Lord." Here they go again, complaining again. "And when the Lord heard it, His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. The people therefore cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire died out. So the name of that place was called Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them." Up to this point, God has been very patient with His people, hasn't He? When they complained back in the book of Exodus, chapters 15, 16, and 17, God didn't destroy the people. He provided for them. He gave them the food and the water that they asked for. God's been patient with them. But a little over a year goes by, and they're still complaining. They still haven't learned that God is going to care for them. They still haven't learned to trust in the Lord. They still haven't learned to be thankful for what they have. And they're complaining once again, and now the Lord has lost His patience. He sends a fire and destroys some of the outskirts of the camp. Eventually, the Lord will lose His patience with us if we just complain and complain and complain. Verse 4 tells us, "The rabble who were among them had greedy desires. And also the sons of Israel wept again and said, 'Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we used to eat free in Egypt, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our appetite is gone. There is nothing at all to look at except this manna.'" Now the people's complaining is a little bit different here than it was back in Exodus. Because back then, in Exodus, the people didn't have anything to eat, and the Lord provided that for them. But here in Numbers, they have something to eat. God gave them the manna, and now they want more than the manna. Not only have they complained about what they don't have, now they're complaining about what they do have. And that's almost worse. It's almost worse for us to complain about God's blessings that we do have than complain about what God hasn't given to us. Again, that's a scary thing. This manna was God's gift to the people. This manna was sufficient for them to fill their bellies. It tasted good. It was there every day for them to collect. God was providing for them, but here they are complaining about it. Here they are complaining about it. And the lesson we can learn from this is that as long as we complain, we're never going to be happy. We're always going to be miserable. The only thing that the people could think about was Egypt, how good it was back then. Really? Was it good back in Egypt? Yes, they had plenty to eat, but they had to slave for their food. They didn't eat their food for free, as they said here in Numbers chapter 11. They didn't eat for free. They had to work their backs off to eat. Pharaoh was hard on them. He was especially hard after Moses came and told him to let my people go. But they couldn't remember that. All they could think about was how good it was back then. They forgot God's blessings. They forgot God's care for them. And as long as we complain, we're never going to be happy. Sometimes we think, well, if only I had such and such, or if only such and such wasn't true, then I'd be happy. Well, chances are, if God gave us what we asked for, we still wouldn't be happy. We'd find something else to complain about, because that's just the nature of who we are. That's just the nature of ingratitude. Whenever we're ungrateful, doesn't matter what God gives us, we're just simply going to continue being ungrateful. That's true for all of us. That's true for me. That's true for all of us. If we are ungrateful, God is not the problem. We are the problem. And so if we want to be content, if we want to live a good life, don't complain, but be grateful for what the Lord has given to us. Another lesson that we can learn from this instance in Numbers chapter 11 is that God may teach us not to complain the hard way. If you notice, beginning in verse 18, Numbers chapter 11, verse 18. Here God is telling the people that I'm going to give you food. I'm going to give you meat that you ask for. And God tells Moses in verse 18, say to the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat. For you have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, oh, that someone would give us meat to eat, for we were well off in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall eat not one day, not 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you, because you have rejected the Lord who is among you and have wept before him, saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? God tells the people, I'll give you meat, but so much of it that it's going to come out of your nose, your ears. You're going to detest it. You're going to wish you never asked for this. Sometimes the Lord might treat us the same way. I remember when I was growing up, I learned pretty quickly not to complain about the food that was on my plate. Because if I didn't like something and I let it be known that I didn't like it and I started complaining about it, Mom would scoop me another spoonful of it. And that sounds mean, but I learned pretty quickly that I'm not to complain about what is given to me. That I'm supposed to be grateful for what I have. And sometimes I still have a hard time remembering that lesson. But the point is that my parents taught me. They tried to train me. And I think the Lord is treating the Israel in the same way. He's teaching them that you must not complain. Sometimes what we ask for is not what we need. Sometimes we might ask for something that is not good for us. And sometimes God may give it to us for a time to teach us that that's not what we need. The Lord may teach us the hard way to not complain. And finally, the last lesson we learned from Israel is that complainers never give thanks to God, even when God blesses them. Towards the end of the chapter, in verses 32 and 33, listen to what it says. The people have now seen the quail come up that the Lord has given to them. And it says in verse 32, the people spent all day and all night and all the next day, and they gathered the quail. He who gathered least gathered 10 homers. And they spread them out for themselves all around the camp. But while the meat was still between their teeth, before it was chewed, the anger of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord struck the people with a very severe plague. So the name of that place was called Kibroth Hatava, because there they buried the people who had been greedy. The implication here is that as soon as the people saw the quail, they rushed upon it and didn't even give a moment's thought about who had given them the quail. They were greedy. They didn't turn around and thank God. Complainers never give thanks to God because we are ungrateful when we complain. And so we need to ask ourselves, are we complainers? Aren't these examples sufficient for us to see the consequences of complaining? They're drastic. Sometimes they're a little bit harsh. But God does not want us to complain. We need to bring this home to us, ourselves. Have you ever complained about food? The Israelites did. Sometimes we find ourselves complaining about the food that's given to us. Do you ever complain about traffic? It may not be such a big deal here in Camden, but I remember in Louisville, when Shannon and I lived up there, one of the things I complained the most about was traffic. And I found myself constantly complaining about, I hate driving in traffic. And I learned that I must not complain about that. Again, I'm still learning that. But we complain about those little things. Do we complain about long lines when we go to McDonald's or when we go to a sit-down restaurant? Do we complain about our waiter or a waitress? Do we complain about people? Do we complain about complainers? And we like to complain about complainers sometimes. Do we complain about our weather that doesn't suit our taste? Do we complain about our government? Yes, our government can be inefficient sometimes and ineffective, but it is our government. The Lord has told us that we are to respect those who are in authority. And we do have blessings because of what our government has done for us. We've got a good military that protects us. It gives us the freedoms. We complain sometimes. We ought not to complain, but we ought to understand that we are the ones who are the complainers. We like to point fingers at other people. We like to say, well, they're the problem. We are the problem whenever we find ourselves complaining. So how do we fix this problem? How do we avoid being complainers? First of all, we've got to identify the complainer. Again, what I mean by that is point fingers at ourselves. Very quickly, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is the chapter that we open up our sermon with this morning that encouraged us to learn from the Israelites, don't complain as they did. And right after Paul encourages us to learn from them, listen to what he says in verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. If we don't think we ever complain, let's think again. Let's take heed. Secondly, we need to learn to think before we speak. We need to ask ourselves, what good is it going to do when I complain? What good is this statement going to do? Is it going to help the situation? Is anything good going to come out of it? The Proverbs writer tells us in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. He says, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. And we would do very well to remember that in relation to complaining. Stop ourselves. Think before we speak. Thirdly, we need to be careful of silent grumbling. Sometimes we end up doing a chore or something that we don't enjoy, and we do it, but inwardly we're grumbling about it. Sometimes I find myself doing that when I'm washing dishes, trying to help Shannon out. And I don't enjoy washing dishes a bit, but I do it, but inwardly, I'm complaining about it. I don't say anything about it, but the Lord still hears. That's complaining. We can complain without saying a single word. The Lord knows what our attitude is. We need to be not afraid to stand out. If we are people who don't complain, we will stand out. Philippians chapter 2, Paul encourages us not to complain. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. There are a lot of complainers in the world. There are more complainers than there are non-complainers. But if we choose to be the one person in the crowd who doesn't complain, we will stand out. And we'll be an encouragement to other people to not complain as well. And finally, if we want to avoid complaining, we simply need to be more thankful. We need to be grateful for what we have. E.M. Bounds once said, gratitude and murmuring never abide in the same heart at the same time. If we are truly grateful for what God has given to us, and we ought to be, then we will not complain. As a positive example of someone who does not complain, we looked at the Israelites as a negative example, but I think about Sister Helen Hansen, who has been in the Karish wing at the hospital for quite some time now, several months. But when you go to visit her and you ask her how she's doing, she might tell you, I'm not feeling very good, or I'm not doing very well. But she doesn't complain. She really doesn't complain. She's content. She's not in a circumstance where she's got everything she wants. She doesn't want to be there. That's not a pleasurable circumstance for her. But she doesn't complain. And I think we can learn something from her, from our good sister Helen Hansen. She's someone who is content. Content to have her family take care of us. Content to have Brother Jeff Hazelden come and visit her. Content for God to be looking out for her. She does not complain. We ought to learn from her example. So as we close this morning, let's just remember what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Nor let us try the Lord, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we encourage you to become one by believing in Jesus Christ and repenting of your sins and being baptized to wash away those sins, and the Lord will forgive you. The Lord will add you to his kingdom. If you'd like to do that this morning, why don't you come? All together.